Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhaft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Chaf Hei. Chapter 25 is about the reign of Amatziahu, son of Yoash. We are told at the outset, Vayas Hayashar Beinei Hashem, Rak Lo Belevav Shalem. He did what was pleasing to God, but not with a whole heart. What does Rak Lo Belevav Shalem, but not with a whole heart, mean? If we look at the parallel account in Melachim Bet, we get more details. Vayas Hayashar Beinei Hashem, Rak Lo Kedavid Aviv, Kechol Asher Sa Yoash Aviv Asa. He did what was pleasing to God, but not like his forefather David. He did just as his father Yoash had done. Rak ha'bamot lo saru, od ha'am mezabchim u'mekatrim ba'bamot. However, the shrines were not removed. The people continued to sacrifice and make offerings at the shrines. The Malbim explains, Amatziahu did what was right as a matter of habitual learned behavior, because his father had acted that way, not out of love for Hashem, as David did. Similarly, Yoash acted righteously only because Yehoiada, the priest, instructed him, and he turns away from Hashem after Yehoiada's death. Accordingly, it says he did what was right, but not with a whole heart. Amatziahu did not set a standard of lofty holiness that would have elevated the people and helped them eliminate the private altars upon which offerings were unlawfully sacrificed to Hashem. His next move is described in verse 3-4. Vayhi kasher chazka hamamlacha alav, vayaharog et avadav hamakim et hamelech aviv. It was when the kingdom was firmly in his control that he killed those of his servants who had slain the king, his father. Ve'epneim lo hemit, ki kakatu batara b'sefer Moshe asher siva Hashem lemor, lo yamutu avod al banim ubanim lo yamutu al avod, ki ish b'cheto yamutu. But he did not put their children to death, as it is written in the Torah in the scroll of Moses, that the Lord commanded, saying, Fathers shall not die for the deeds of sons, and sons shall not die for fathers, as each shall die for his own sin. Amatziahu became king after his father's death at the hands of rebels, which did not establish the new monarch in a clear, stable situation. The deeds of those responsible for the assassination were known to all, but the perpetrators were not immediately punished due to their prominent positions. It was when the kingdom was firmly in his control, when Amatziahu was confident in the viability of his reign, that he killed those of his servants who had killed his father. The Psukim inform us that Amatziahu did not use his royal prerogative to kill the assassins. Royal prerogative is outlined by the Rambam in Mishneh Torah. Kol ha-moreid b'melech Yisrael, yesh l'melech reshut lehargo, shene emar, kol ish asher yamreh epicha. V'chein kol mevazet ha-melech o me'acharfo, yesh l'melech reshut lehargo, kishimi ben gera. Anyone who rebels against the king of Israel may be executed by the king. The king may execute him if he desires, as it states in Joshua, whoever rebels against your command shall be put to death. Similarly, anyone who embarrasses or shames the king may be executed by the king, as was Shimi ben Gera. And the Talmud states that a king's regal privilege is that he has the right to kill the children of a rebel. So Amatziahu could have used his sovereign authority to kill the assassins and their children, but he didn't. Instead, he deliberately decided to punish the murderers through the courts, according to the rules laid out in the Torah. Perhaps haunted by the terrible deeds of his father towards Zechariah, son of Yehoiada, and eager to build a kingship free from past stains, he decided not to wield his full authority and instead start afresh. Verses 5-17 describe the war of Amatziahu with Edom. He mustered 300,000 chosen men, fit for military service, handlers of spear and large shield. This is a far smaller army than those at the disposal of his predecessors. Asa had recruited 300,000 men from Yehuda alone and an additional 200,000 men from Benjamin. Jehoshaphat had recruited over 1 million men. Maybe these numbers parallel the lower spiritual heights of the people now versus the level of previous generations. Since he thought that he did not have enough soldiers, he hired from Israel, which was a much larger kingdom, 100,000 mighty warriors for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him saying, King, let the army of Israel not go with you to war, for Hashem is not with Israel. All the children of Ephraim should not join forces with you. God will not be with them, as they have strayed from his path. Radak tells us that Chazal, the sages, say that the man of God is Amots, the father of the prophet Yeshayahu. And the Gemara in Megillah, when discussing why Yeshayahu spoke with such boldness to kings, further identifies the man of God and states that Amoz and Amatsyahu were brothers, and explains that Yeshaya was not merely a prophet confronting royalty, but royalty himself. Rashi explains that the northern kingdom of the 10 tribes is called Ephraim because Yeravam, the first king, was from the tribe of Ephraim. The man of God continues and says, if Amatsyahu chooses to ignore his words and wages the war with the joint army, then victory will not come by the hand of Hashem. He will be going alone. No amount of effort will affect the outcome. However mightily you fight, God will make you fall. Hashem can help a small army win a battle against overwhelming odds and can cause a mighty army to fall. You will not lose by sending the mercenaries away. Amatsyahu said to the man of God, but what is to be done with the 100 talents that I gave the troops of Israel? I've already paid for these troops. The man of God said, the Lord is capable of giving you more than this. God can restore this money to you and much more besides. The king listened to the prophet and sent the troops that had come to him from Ephraim back to their place. They were insulted. Their wrath was greatly inflamed against Yehuda, who had dismissed them without allowing them to participate in battle. Let's pause for a moment and recognize the great thing that Amatsyahu did here. The man of God did not introduce his message with the words, Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem. And yet Amatsyahu demonstrates great trust and mitachon in Hashem and listens to the man of God and does what he tells him to do. Amatsyahu took courage and led his people on an invasion into Edom and went to the Valley of Salt and smote 10,000 of the children of Seir, the Edomites. What happens next is hard to comprehend. The children of Yehuda captured 10,000 warriors alive, brought them to the top of the rock, and they executed them by throwing them off the top of the rock. The Midrash in Eicha Rabbah informs us of Hashem's opinion about this battle. Hashem smiled upon them during the reign of Amatsyahu and therefore allowed them to destroy their enemies. But at the moment that the captives were thrown off the rock, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, I decree death for the descendants of Noach only by sword. What are they doing here? Let them be exiled. When they sinned, they were exiled. The authors of this midrash, the sages, view the senseless cruelty as hitting at the very core of Jewish being. The Gemara in Yevamot states, Shlosha simanim yesh ba'umazu, harachmanim, habayshanin, v'gomlei chasadim, rachmanim, dichtiv, v'natan lecha rachamim, v'richamecha, v'hirbecha. There are three distinguishing marks of this nation, the Jewish people. They are merciful, they are shamefaced, and they perform acts of kindness. They are merciful, as it is written, and he will give you mercy and have mercy upon you and multiply you. Not only will God have mercy upon you, but he will bestow the attribute of mercy upon you. So they were acting truly out of character. Then we are told in verse 13 that the members of the troops of Ephraim that Amatsyahu had sent back from going with him to war raided in the cities of Yehuda from the border with Samaria to Beit Horon. They went on a wild spree of vengeance against the cities for the insult they had suffered, and they smote 3,000 of the inhabitants of Yehuda and plundered much spoils. This is going to be significant later. What Amatsyahu did when he returned from the war are so surprising, considering how our chapter began and how he demonstrated real emunah in Hashem and listened to the man of God. Vayihi achrebo Amatsyahu me'akod et Adomim, vayaveh et Elohei b'nei Seir, vayamidem lo le'elohim, v'lifnei yishtachaveh, v'lahem yikater. It was after Amatsyahu came from smiting the Edomites that he brought the gods of the children of Seir with him to Yehuda, and he established them as his gods. He would prostrate himself before them and burn offerings of incense to them. How are we to understand why Amatsyahu did that? And why would he be described positively in the beginning of the chapter? The kings of Israel described as wicked when they worshipped idols, but Ezra does not speak that way about Amatsyahu. We have to understand that his idol worship never implied a denial of God. It was a syncretic worship, combining different beliefs, religions, or practices. He still believed in Hashem, but also thought that Hashem chose to relate to this world through intermediaries, and that they were empowered to grant or withhold favors. So Amatsyahu felt it was important to appease them or elicit their goodwill by means of various services. Maybe Amatsyahu felt bad about the cruel way the captives were treated and was afraid of how the offended powers might react. Hashem got angry at Amatsyahu And he said to prophet him and said to him, why did you seek after the gods of the people that did not deliver their own people from your hand? Not only did you turn to idolatry, but you adopted those very same idols that you had just defeated in war. Note that the prophet accuses Amatsyahu of foolishness, not wickedness, which supports our idea that he wasn't denying Hashem, just worshiping both simultaneously. It was while the prophet was speaking to him that the king said, did we appoint you the king's counselor? How dare you tell me what to do and what not to do? Stop this audacity. Why should they, my counselors, have cause to smite you? The prophet stopped speaking and said only this, I know that God has counseled to destroy you because you did this and did not heed my counsel. Having considered the matter, Amatsyahu, king of Yehuda, consulted and sent to Yoash, son of Yehoahaz, son of Yehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us meet one another in battle. Yoash, king of Israel, sent a reply to Amatsyahu, king of Yehuda, saying by means of a parable, the small thistle that is in the Lebanon sent to the cedar that is in the Lebanon, saying, since we are both forms of vegetation in Lebanon, give your daughter as a wife to my son. In the meantime, the wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. The flimsy thistle should not have been so presumptuous. To prevent Amatsyahu misunderstanding the meaning of his parable, Yoash explains exactly what he meant. You said to yourself, behold, you have smitten Edom, although it is not a large country, and already your heart has raised you to seek glory? After that one minor victory, you wish to declare war upon me? Imagining us as equals? Sit now at home and why provoke harm? You will fall, you and Yehuda with you. It would be a shame for you and your men to suffer defeat. In verse 20, we see what the prophet meant earlier. V'lo shama Amatsyahu ki me'elkim hi lamanti tam b'yad ki dashu et Elohei Edom. But Amatsyahu paid no heed. It was God's doing in order to deliver them up because they worshipped the gods of Edom. Here we see again an example of sibatiyut kfula, dual causality. We have seen moments where Amatsyahu does respond and reflect and listen to the man of God. But here he doesn't, because Hashem does not want him to. Yoash, king of Israel, went up to war against Yehuda, and he and Amatsyahu met one another and engaged in battle in Beit Shemesh, which is in Yehuda. Yehuda was smitten by Israel, and each man fled to his tent. In verse 25, we read that Yoash, king of Israel, captured Amatsyahu, king of Yehuda, the son of Yoash, the son of Yehoahaz, spared his life, and brought him to Jerusalem. He broke 400 cubits of the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate. Why is all of Amatsyahu's ancestry and the name of his grandfather, Yehoahaz, spelled out in this pasuk? Ralbag suggests that it is based on what we learned in chapter 22 about Yehu, who was anointed king over Israel by Elisha in accordance with the command which Hashem gave Eliyahu, that Yehu was supposed to kill out the entire family of Ahav as punishment for all of their wickedness. Since the time that the two kingdoms had intermarried, Machlo Yehuda was considered to be part of Ahaz's family. As we learned, Yehu killed Yehoahaz, Amatsyahu's grandfather, as had been prophesied. So now Yoash was continuing his grandfather's work by subjugating Amatsyahu. Abarbanel explained that it was the custom of conquerors to breach the wall of a vanquished city rather than to enter by the gate. In this way, they made it clear that they entered from strength. Yoash left with all the gold and silver as spoils and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Edom, who was in charge of guarding them, and the treasuries of the king's house and the hostages. The king of Israel returned to Samaria after his victory in the war. Who is Oved Edom? Rashi and Radak identify him as a temple gatekeeper appointed by David. This position of honor continued to be held by his family, and whoever held it carried the name of the original officer. What hostages did Yoash take? The language used for the hostages is Bnei Hata'aruvot, and the root of the word is related to Eravon, which is when something is used as collateral. So the sons of the officials in the royal household were taken in order to ensure the loyalty of their fathers. The last three verses of the chapter inform us what happened to Amatsyahu after his horrifying defeat. Amatsyahu lived for an additional 15 years after the death of Yoash, king of Israel. From the time that Amatsyahu turned away from Hashem, they conspired against him, organizing a revolt in Jerusalem. He fled to Lachish, a fortified city of the kings of Yehuda, and the rebels put him to death there. They brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Yehuda. In the kingdom of Israel, there were almost no dynasties that lasted more than a few generations. In contrast, the royal dynasty in Yehuda was relatively stable. These last two kings of Yehuda that we have learned about, Yoash and Amatsyahu, who were killed by rebels, are the exception. And even in their cases, the kingdom was not usurped by the rebels, but was passed on to their sons. We will learn about Amatsyahu's son, Uzziyahu, in the next chapter. This year is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern Mincha Yehudi Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sefer Neviim and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.